Hello, everybody, and welcome to our album track by track discussion. Thank you for listening to this whole album. We cannot do this without you. You are incredibly awesome. Let us introduce everybody who's going to be on this discussion, though. I'm sure you already know me, Tanner. We also got...
I got Jamie, the important one, who even wrote stuff on the CD that you've listened to with your eardrums. Great.
And do you apologize for what they've listened to with their eardrums?
I don't care. You already paid for it. Nah.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I'm Jono. I do stuff like documentaries and other reviews and stuff for the Sonic Show.
And contributed nothing to this project.
Yay!
And finally, I'm back here, Tom, with other bits and weird tips and trivia. And did at least something, I think, right?
You did actually contribute to this Pingus edition.
Yay!
Yay!
Semi-usefulness.
So I guess we should go through all the music and just discuss our feelings on it. Like, first off, a summary of 8 years, the intro song. I think it's awesome.
Okay, can I just be really clear? Tana hasn't heard the intro track. It's really important.
Is it that easy to tell?
So this is obviously recorded pre-release, obviously, because otherwise it wouldn't be on the CD. That's not how time works. And some of the tracks we've all heard the tracks in very primitive forms, and the opening track doesn't actually exist in a format they've heard. But I have heard it because I edited it. Basically, back in season one of the Sonic Show, before Tanner was even born, that's right, isn't it? You're six? Yeah? Yeah? Right, okay, cool. The season finale, episode 10, does anyone remember that?
Happened in it?
Could at least just said yes.
I came in, what, season 4 or 5? How was I supposed to know anything about season 1?
In the first season, the very last episode, when it was a podcast, had loads of different people in the Sonic community talk about the show. And, like, a guy called Ziz, who owns Sonic Cage Dome, did a thing. And one of them was Rory Raccoon, who is still around the community, was a lot more, you know, prevalent back then. And basically, the whole intro is about him discussing why the Sonic Show is terrible. in a witty and English way. So it's not really a track. It's like just an opening dialogue. A prologue, if you will. That's the correct word, isn't it? Prologue?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know words. So, yeah. So, but I agree with Tanner. It's really awesome.
I have not heard it, but I'm sure it's awesome. I mean, everything we touch gets at least partial bits of awesomeness sort of left on it like a terrible germ, so...
Yes, the CD is like a germ.
Everything the light touches is somewhat awesome.
What about that dark patch over on the east side?
That's the bonus CD.
No one touches the bonus CD.
So then we have track 2, which you should have all heard of, since you're all on this show, you must have come across one point, is the Sonic Show's 2014 theme, which is an extended cut, which you can't hear anywhere else, which is actually true, actual fact. That was remixed by a guy called Mr. Megabyte, which we're all familiar with, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He did a really cool remix of Flying Battery Zone on YouTube, which a lot of people have listened to. And also, sorry, go ahead.
He was the one that done the Summer of Sonic jingle as well, correct?
That is indeed correct. I think this is probably the most happiest I've ever been with our theme tune, ever. I think it has the right energy. I just like it.
It works.
It's thumping bass.
So up next, we have the Sonic Show 2012 bed music. Would you care to explain what bed music is, Jamie?
So when I'm tired, I like to lie down, and when I lie down in bed, I like special bed music to set the mood.
He has.
I have sofa music and bus music, and I have bed music. So this is when the Sonic Show particularly wants music for you to listen to in bed. I think that's a reasonable explanation.
Okay, and for all two of you who actually believed all that, bed music is actually something which was created, you know, to just kind of talk over that kind of thing. So, stuff, yeah. It's like, more of a radio like a kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like background music. It is literally just the bed underneath the speaking bits. We use this track, we didn't use it so much at the moment, but it was used more as the outro. Out card thing, because it was so good I didn't like people chatting and it loops for eternity.
We also used it to actually advertise their sort of new change in image that we had, didn't we?
Yeah. And I should mention also that it's obviously been composed and produced by our friends at Red Panda Audio.
Yay.
Done by Matthew Walker of EGM Awesome, who does many things, including he's done music for PayPal and films and all sorts of things. And our little piece of mess.
So then after that, we have the 2012 theme proper.
Proper. Also done by Red Panda Audio. One of my favourite, like...
This was like the base for what, we based 2014 theme on.
Exactly. So this has created the music that is run. This is the motif. They created the act for all this time. It wasn't until 2012 that I think we got our own proper motif. If you hear that little melody bit, I think you instantly know that it's ours. And I like that. Because all the other ones are really, really good, but they sound like things that Sonic has already done, which is actually different. And I really appreciate that. So whatever happens in the future, Red Panda Audio will always probably be the originators, because they kick ass.
Until they get fed up with us and they're like, no, make your own damn music. So after that, we have the 2009 theme.
Does anyone honestly remember this theme?
I do, actually, because
I do as well, I think.
This is probably one of the more memorable ones for me.
It's probably when you started watching the show, that was the main theme going on at the time, I imagine.
Wasn't this also around the same time? Correct me if I'm wrong. This was the theme that was playing around the same time that the original Sonic Show YouTube account got hacked.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was when I first joined on.
Oh, yeah, so it would have been the museum. This was done by a guy called Hunter Bridges. He's really, really good. I like this track because it goes from, like, Genesis Mega Drive into Crush 40, all in the same song. I quite like it. It's quite clever. It's probably like the first time we had like a posh theme tune.
So for the final official Sonic Show theme, we have the 2008 theme.
Who remembers this one?
I do.
I didn't.
I do too.
This one I did not remember whatsoever.
What I don't understand, and this wasn't... It's done by a guy called DJ Ear, who... This track doesn't represent his talents at all, as you see later on, because he's just improved so much since that was just ages ago. For some reason, I added loads of birds tweeting at the beginning. I'm not sure.
I think it was just to give it that more.
It's like this
wind.
There's wind, and then there's birds cheeping. And that wasn't in the original mix. I added that on because I'm a twat.
And now we have the remixes. We have two remixes. One by Laugh the Fox and one by Lipsy. Noah Lipsy, that is. And they are both remixes of the 2012 theme. The Laugh remix has a bit of the bed mixed in. And I gotta say, these are both really good.
They are, actually.
Indeed they are.
I'm quite surprised. It's amazing what, like, the fans are actually capable of doing. They're very talented.
Wait, we have fans?
Well, I do. They're very, very talented. I love them both. I like the fact that the Fox managed to actually blend the theme and the bed music together so well in a way that doesn't sound clustery, you know? But then I do think my personal favourite is the Lipsy remix, just because I love how much it sounds like Mega Drive music. It just sounds, it's got all the sound effects, it's got all the Genesis sound. Oh, I love it. It's so, gives me nostalgia for something that wasn't that old.
That's fair enough. I mean, for me, that Laughs the Fox remix is saying that appealed to me, mostly because obviously me and Tanner not directly worked with Laugh, but obviously Laugh done the intro theme for T versus T.
And I think it works.
See, I love it when songs or like say a game can take like a basic melody and then sort of like craft it into different ways and feelings. And this is what I get, you know, you get three different versions of this song, each with different feelings. And it's like, you know how it goes, but it feels different. So yeah. I love them both pretty much equally. It's like choosing a favorite child. I can't really go about choosing. And next up, we have Two Parodies, starting off with hashtag Badnik, a selfie parody.
Well, this was fun.
The song nobody asked for. I love this. I think it's like probably the most, out of all the parodies we've done, it's the one that actually the most sounds like a real song. Like, of all the other ones, I think some of the varying quality, but it's actually good. And I wrote it, which obviously shows I am amazing. And I want my Grammy.
I think this one is like a clear, like I actually like this song much better than the actual original. And I mean, that's not saying much, because it is Selfie. But no, like I actually really like how this one turned out. And I gotta say, who is it that we got to play Sonic in this one?
Mike Wilson.
He is really, really good at being Roger Craig
Smith.
Very,
very, very good. Like, when we put the previews up, people were like, oh my god, did you get Roger? I was like, maybe. No.
We wished.
He's amazing. His voice talent is amazing. He got all the tone of Sonic right throughout the whole thing. This whole parody, basically, because every year, I think, and it's probably where we're going to go forward, is I think we're going to do a big parody of a big song of the year. And obviously last year was the Fox thing. This year was definitely the Selfie song. I think it's probably the biggest meme song of the whole year. So I had to search for the biggest Sonic thing, which was Boom. And it's all basically about Sonic and having a midlife crisis. Because he doesn't know what the colour of his arms are anymore, what his face is meant to look like. I regret not mentioning that his eyelids changed colour as well. I missed that out.
Okay, next up we have What Does the Fox Say? But the Tails parody version. This one doesn't have a changed name whatsoever. But, because it still works. It doesn't need it. So,
well,
this one has a lot to it.
Well, where do we even begin with this one? The video has, well, starts it off, I guess.
It's an interesting one. Because obviously, the first verse is basically just how many memes of Sonic noises can you fit in, like Knuckles? Do Knuckles? Tom?
Yep, Knuckles. Oh no.
There you go, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And, you know, Pingus, Sonic death noise, Knuckles.
I still think you could have gone away with saying too slow.
No. Wouldn't it fit with the beat?
You're too slow.
Well, it's thanks for giving me the editorial note 12 months after it came out. Thanks ever so much. So it was like, you know, how many of different familiar noises can you get from Sonic characters to play out the first verse? And obviously the whole point of the chorus is basically what's the most annoying things Tails has said, which is basically everything Tails has ever said.
Mostly from Sonic Heroes.
Mostly in Sonic Heroes.
Yes, yeah. The aim was for the choruses that as it goes along, it goes from all the different Tails up to the most recent one. But most of the annoying ones came out of Sonic Heroes. You know, look at all those Eggman's robots. Things like that. And then the second verse, and the ending bit had to be like properly written And then my mind sort of went really dark places.
As well as your face in the video.
Yes. I'll talk about the video in a sec. I don't know why I thought... Everyone says it. Everyone says it. Everyone says, well, if he has two tails, does that mean he has two bum holes?
I think that was only you that thought that up.
No, as an artist.
I'm sure most people have thought about that at least one point in their life.
I'm pretty sure only you guys do.
You need to get these messages out. These are important questions. Yeah, it's like, if you've got two tails, but if I make you turn and roll, will I see their two bum holes?
No. Jay, you didn't say it right. It's two bum holes. Holes. Which is the best part, just how you sustain bum holes for almost a good 15 seconds. All right, and the next track we have You Need a Mustache, a Work Bitch parody. Now, Jay, would you like to explain how crazy the song was to get onto the CD?
So it turns out Britney Spears is very famous.
No!
And, so all the tracks on the album, the parodies, if they are parodies of other people's songs, which is what a parody is, you have to pay them a license to use their music. Not on YouTube, you can get away with it as a parody of fair use, but if you're selling the song, while you don't have to, it's strongly recommended you buy a license so you don't get sued. And for a charity album, I didn't really want to get sued. I'm not going to say how much it costs to pay the license fees, and luckily we have companies and stuff who work behind the scenes who pay that for us. But yeah, Britney is a bitch. Yeah. It started out as just Eggman saying work bitch a lot, because it just made me giggle the idea of Eggman. Just the idea of Eggman saying work bitch. Like he's some sort of like gay man in a club shouting at drag queen.
You know, every time you mention that, you're just making me think of the music video of Brush Me and then just search me.
The guy who agreed to do it, who is on another sheet of paper in front of me, Dr. Mac Fox, who did the Eggman voice for the epilogue of the Metropolis Mayhem. Yeah, he does a lot of work with Sonic Paradox voice acting and stuff. Anyway, he doesn't swear in his if he doesn't do curse words, so he would refuse to sing the word bitch. So we had to change the lyrics, and I think as a result we actually came out with something a lot more funny.
And I think the funny thing is, I don't know if you guys saw the movie A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I haven't, but I do want to see
it. I never heard of it, but go on.
There is a song about how you need a mustache to be a good person, and it's very similar. And I'm pretty sure before the movie came out, this was done. So yes, it was pretty funny in reverse, for sure.
And it's a good song. The only line that we didn't change from the original song, because I just thought it was funny, was Eggman saying, "Do you want to look hot in a bikini? You need a mustache."
Now you're just making me think of flashbacks to Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog in like episode 3 when Robotnik's in like that really skimpy bikini when he's in Egypt. It's like, oh.
And it's quite interesting hearing an Eggman guy try to do a Britney song. It's very weird. It's very weird. But I do enjoy it. I think this wouldn't exist for this album, so I'm glad it exists. And I'm glad that Mr. Mac Fox refused to do the sweary words, because I do believe that we got something funnier out of it. It shows you get thrown an obstacle and you work around it and make something even better.
Yeah, you grow a mustache.
Exactly.
All right.
Which kind of can't do.
Yeah, no, I can't. I can't grow a mustache. I am obviously, like, the worst. So, speaking of the worst, we have Yay. Double Hedgehog, which is a Double Rainbow parody. And, okay, so I sing this. Sing. Air quotations. See, I think there was a miscommunication when Jay and I were... Well, Jay was making this. He said, can you sing the Double Rainbow song? And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I mean, I know how the song goes. But then he ended up trying to auto-tune me to the song. Like, my already sing song song. So it ended up being song. Like a double auto-tune sing thing, which... and I don't sing... So
basically, I told Tanner, can you sing Double Rainbow and just replace the word with hedgehog? He's like, yeah, I can do that. And I want it on the record that Tanner's voice is not auto-tuned in that song.
It's not? Just
everything else.
It's got a filter on it to make you sound like a robot, oh, but your okay. pitch is not tuned at all. The off-keyness is 100% a natural Tanner. Right? The so only Tanner. Thing is, he is the very creepy bits where he has a backup chorus of himself at a higher pitch. and that the backup Tanner is auto-tuned and sounds like a Something's Nightmare. The bit where it goes, what does it mean, so bright, so vivid, it gives me nightmares. It's so horrible. It's like Tanner singing it, and in the background, just this, like, something out of Five Nights at Freddy's, like, singing like a fucking dead Barbie doll. It's horrible. Good track. Lyrics. I like the fact, I just noticed, I credited myself on this track as writing the lyrics. All I did was change one word. Same as Britney, really.
And now going on to a good song featuring me, we have Tanner in the Game, a Pinky in the Brain parody done by Mr. Max Firestorm, who is an awesome dude. And it literally was just, we were just doing, I put up a Let's Play on the Facebook page, and I think he commented, and we kept going back and forth, and eventually he's just like, I'm going to make this into a song. And he did. And it was hilarious. And I love it. And it's, you know, it's just such a great... Number one, it's Pinky in the Brain, which is amazing. If you don't know what Pinky in the Brain is, please go watch that. But, like, it works, too, because I have trouble with Unleashed.
Still do.
And now, finally, the last two on the regular disc, we have Power Friendship. Which,
Well, what can be said?
When everything seems to break and you don't know what to do. Sorry.
There you go, guys. You've heard a sneak preview of our next album. A Jay's remix of Power of Friendship.
Yeah. Jay I sings the hits.
Because Evil Doc, who did a variety of videos for us back in 2008, you know, they take the mick out of everything. And one of the things was the Crush 40 songs, which are very much like this. It's very much like, ooh yeah, Sonic and the team get together, bum each other and save the world. And but it's so weird because it's always like such a happy go lucky message against this music with all these guitars and rah, rah, rah. It's like, fuck your friendship, rah. So it's quite bizarre. I do like it.
I can't wait for the next one, which is a Sonic and the Christian Rock album.
Yeah.
And finally, we have Blue Memories, the 2008 theme reimagined.
So this was important to me. So DJ Ear composed our first ever theme tune, ever. So it only seemed fair, really, that he made. At the point of the release of the album, the most recent track that we've ever done. So it's like a nice bookend, I think, of our timeline. And he didn't do a remix of the 2008 theme tune because he doesn't like his original. He has much dislike for his original theme tune. So he just took motifs and hints and themes from it and made it this epic 7-minute journey of a song. It's so good. It's like, I will listen to it when I walk home from work, and it's just like, I do enjoy it. It's very good. It takes you on a journey. It's good.
Dare and I like, say, it alone is worth the price of the album.
Exactly. Which is very cheap.
No, but like, I remember I was flipping through the songs on this, and I got to this, and I've never heard this before. So, you know, I go hit play, and I was just blown away by this amazing song. It's just so, wow. It's like a real, real good song. Like, I mean, I'm not putting down the other songs, but this one's like...
This is a real one.
It's an amazing, like, I don't know, is there, like, you know, a rock opera, would this be like an, like, sort of like a sonic rock opera? I don't know, but it's like a journey, which I love. It's so good.
I think the length actually works. I think because you, when you get to the end of it, you feel like you have, it builds up and it builds up and builds up. And I think it's also a good way of showing, if you compare it to the original theme tune, I think it's a good representation of where the show's grown as well. I think it reflects on where we are now. So this is like the end of, they've listened to 2 CDs and this is like the very end of their journey. What do we say to them?
I think the one thing we have to say is the T word with a Y word also, you know, a thank you.
What was it? Ty?
Did you just say T?
No, it's like Ty, it's like T and Y. It's like, that's not, they don't spell anything. It's not just a sound.
Yes, Ty, every single one of you.
Yeah, thanks for
so
buying this.
So professional we are.
You know, you've raised money for charity, which is always good.
And that's probably the first time we've even mentioned that on here so far.
I think, you know, someone needs to say something really inappropriate and then we just cut it out and then that's the outro. I think that's the only way the Sonic Show can end an album.
If we ever do another parody, well, a selfie parody, instead of Bannix, can we call it something like Grab Yourself a Pinker?
And that was the inappropriate comment.